And I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, and so that you may approve the things which are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. And so last time we stopped on the fact and the thought that the Apostle Paul is continuing his prayer for these believers at this church. He had prayed and thanked God for their testimony and for their fellowship with him. The fellowship means their participation in his ministry. And now the Apostle Paul is praying further for their spiritual growth. And I think we stopped and momentarily paused on the fact that as parents, especially those of you who have little children right now, our desire is for our children to grow up, to be healthy, obviously, to excel at school and to grow up and be productive people in the society we live in. So that instead of draining the society of the riches that we have, instead, they could contribute to it. There's some people that go through life, and we live in a very blessed country where there's many different social programs, welfare programs, social security programs that assist and help people that have needs. But in reality, that drains the system of important resources that could be used perhaps in other ways. And a good and productive citizen in society, instead of draining from it, he contributes to it. But spiritually speaking, as the best that we would like for our children is that they would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be productive members of a local church someplace, and perhaps even in the worldwide body of Jesus Christ, where God might call them to ministry, perhaps as a missionary or perhaps in a different area, perhaps teaching. There are many godly Christian teachers, even in the ungodly society we live in and the ungodly schools and curriculums that we find in schools today. There's a lot of things that children that grow up to have their own personal faith, not just the faith of their parents, can grow up and be mature believers. And that is the goal for us as parents. And that was what Paul here is praying, beginning with verse 9. I pray about your spiritual growth. It begins with our love. So it'll grow more and more and more. And we talked a little bit about love last time and the fact that love has to be nurtured in order for it to grow. Just like a plant, if you plant it and you don't take care of it, you don't water it, and you don't fertilize it, it'll wither and it'll die pretty soon and look kind of ugly. Paul wants our love to grow, and he says our love begins to grow when we have a knowledge, and the knowledge comes from things from the Word of God. Not just facts, not just figures, not just names of people and cities and dates, but the spiritual truths that teach us how to live, how to act. And then this knowledge, as we grow more and more in this knowledge, it gives us two words that we find in verse 9. It gives us knowledge, and then it gives us discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell what is right and what is wrong, and then do the right thing, make the right choice, live accordingly. But Paul calls us to even a deeper knowledge than just discernment. Verse 10, and that's what I want us to think about today, it says, so that when you have this knowledge, when you know, if you knew everything there was in the Bible, like perhaps like the Apostle Paul or Moses that wrote the Pentateuch, I mean, he wrote that, and we have a hard time just reading it. These things are not just knowledge to give you discernment, but the reason for it. The reason Paul prays that we would have in verse 10 is so that you could approve the things that are excellent. What does the word approval mean? Approval is what metallurgists use when they use fire or they use heat to melt certain metals to purify them. A jeweler, some of you ladies have nice gold. It's not pure gold that you have on your finger, despite what you may have thought your husband or your fiancé gave you. Gold is so soft that if it was 100% pure,
It is so soft it would deform and it wouldn't hold a shape very well. It would get scratched and chipped very easily. And so they add typically 15 or 20% of other alloys to it, and that makes it a little bit harder so you can ring it and wear it on your finger and things like that. But sometimes if you would take gold, you see some of these people now, because gold is expensive, they buy gold and they melt it down and get a new bar of gold out of it. And in the process, all of the things that were added come up to the top, similar to like when you cook certain soups and things, when you have the things that rise up to the top that you skim off, the fats and the greases and things like that. Well, the metal will do that. And so Paul is praying that we could approve, that we would use this process in our life to approve things that are excellent. And excellent is something that is very uniquely unhuman. It belongs only to God. Our God alone in the universe is excellent. No man is excellent. Obviously, we are sinners. What things are excellent with God? All the things that are pure, the things that have gone through fire, the knowledge of God. It's the truth. The truth does not change. God wants us to approve these things through the knowledge that we have. So we have the knowledge, we have the basis, we have the Word of God that becomes the standard by which we approve things. And we approve them in our life. Our life is like the crucible that holds the gold or the metal in which it's melted. And our life and our mind and our heart can be the crucible that holds the spiritual truths, and we can approve them in our life. In the Russian, the word similarly says utvirdit, or to establish as a standard, and use that in your life. And Paul is concerned that we not just know the things that are right and know the things that are true, but that we approve them by the way we live and we think and talk. And then he goes on in the rest of this epistle and he talks about some of those things. And so Paul is praying that our love would grow, it would grow in the knowledge, we could discern things, we could approve things that are excellent. And in that way, then, this excellent begins to change our life. And our life becomes, the next word here is the word sincere. And this is an exact transliteration of a Latin word, which means sincere, which means without wax. And what the word means, we talked about this in the Epistle of Ephesians, is the pottery makers in the old days, if they had some bad clay, it would be made with some cracks sometimes. And so unscrupulous pots or potters, they would put some wax in it and paint it, and it would sell it. The real good potters, they would always put their stamp of approval on it, as I think you mentioned recently, and it said sincere. No wax in it. There's two ways to find out if there's wax in the pot, under the paint. You could put it in the fire, and the wax would begin to melt. Another less destructive way, once the wax melted, your pot was no good. So if you paid some money for it already and you didn't want to lose the money that you had spent on it, you would simply put some water in it, begin to boil it for a long time, and the wax would also melt and start oozing out. Now, the third way is to go out in the sunlight and just put it up in the sunlight, and you could see the fine lines where the wax was, because the wax was always a different color than the clay that the pot was made out of. And you know, we can approve things in our life sometimes, symbolically speaking, about a pot, by putting it up to the light of God or God's word and just let it shine through. And God will show us all the cracks in our life, and then we can apply the truth that he wants in our life. And so God wants for us not just the things that are right, the things that are true, the things that are, but he wants the things that are excellent. He wants the absolute best in our life, in everything we think and speak and do. And that we would be sincere when we do it. And who alone knows our heart? Proverbs 17:9, our heart is so wicked sometimes and deceitful we cannot see it. But God, the very next verse, says he tries our hearts. David says, try me, O Lord. Испытай меня. Test me. Put me through the fire. And so that is what Paul is praying about. The purpose to our life, our spiritual life, is the reason that God has given us his word. And it is so that we, through knowing the word of God, could do the things that are excellent and or perfect. Perfect is another example of the word excellent. In this life, of course, nobody ever reaches sinless perfection. But the goal should be there. Paul goes on in the next chapter when we get there, in the next several chapters, and he says, I have the goal in front of me, and I reach for it. And Paul is often using expressions from the Olympics or from the military in his epistles. And the expression, when I reach forward, it's the idea is you see a marathon racer as he gets close to the ribbon, when he's about to cross the line, he stretches out his body to reach for it. With all of his energy, with all of the strength that he has, he does that. And Paul says, I forget the things that happened in the past, in other words, the sins that I did, and I reach forward. And then in the very same verse, Paul says, I haven't achieved them yet, but I strive and I reach for them. And we'll get there in due time as we get to that verse. But that is the whole thing that Paul is praying about. And so we know these things, and if we begin to discern, or we begin to judge, the word judge is another word for discern. If we begin to make decisions or conclusions based on the word of God in our life to live a certain way, then we can begin to approve these things in our life, the excellent things that God calls us to. We will be sincere in doing that, and God will know that. And it says we'll not only be genuine and sincere, but we will also be without offense. The word without offense means no blame. No wax, no blame. Без вины. The idea here is that of the billions of people that live on the in the world, to be without blame would mean that nobody in the whole world knows or would say something about me that would accuse me before God the way Satan does. That's the calling that we have to an excellent lifestyle. Of course, none of us are totally without offense. We never get there. But the goal is there. And Paul, as he writes about these things, you notice in verse 10, he finishes with the expression, until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the second time already, just in this first chapter, that Paul discusses the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day of the rapture of the church when Jesus takes us to be with him. Or the day when, through death, we go to see him. Scripture teaches us in several different places that when we see Jesus, either at the rapture or at death, then at that moment we become perfect. We become like Jesus. We become blameless. We become without offense in our new, sinless, holy, pure bodies. We will think right thoughts, genuine thoughts, excellent thoughts, righteous thoughts. We will think the way Jesus thinks. We will be the way Jesus is. But that will occur on the day of Jesus Christ. And Paul, in his mind, it was always his goal. In one place, Paul writes, it's better to be with the Lord than to be in this body. It's better to die and go to heaven than to be here. But while I'm here, Paul says, these are the things that I reach for and I strive for and I desire. And then verse 11, Paul says, if you're doing all of these things, if you have the knowledge of God in your life, if you begin to make comparisons between the right and the wrong, and to choose and approve the things that are not only true and right, but the things that are excellent and perfect, then you will be in the eyes of God. God will see your sincerity. He will help you in your holy living so that you are growing, and the fruit of the Spirit will be in your life, beginning with love, and then all the other fruits of the Spirit from Galatians that Gene mentioned this morning. And then verse 11 says, you will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. That is the summary of our life. That is the epitome. That is the standard God calls us to. That is where God wants us to be. That is the excellent standard he has set for us. He wants our life to be producing righteousness day in and day out. Every hour, every minute, every second of every day. Again, we can't do that by ourselves. And in the very same phrase, he says, they are by Jesus Christ. Everything we are is a result of Jesus Christ. We are in Him. It is through Him that we live. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, and now He lives in me and through me. I am dead. In Romans, Paul writes, he says, consider yourself to be dead. When's the last time you thought about yourself as being dead? We don't think that way because we're humans. We think of life. We think of living. If you start thinking yourself as a dead person, you'll die pretty soon. You go into depression and you shut down and you die. But Paul, his thought there is consider yourself dead to your old life of sin. And at the same time, be alive to life in Jesus Christ. And so when we are filled with the fruits of righteousness, or when we're living that way, it is through Jesus Christ or by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Notice the fruits of righteousness are the fruits of the Holy Spirit produces in our life. They are through the Son, which is Jesus Christ. And who gets glorified? The Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our life all are doing a ministry and our work. In all our life, that should be the goal, that God would be glorified, that God would be praised. And that's all just the beginning of Paul's prayer. And he goes on, and now he begins to talk about some of the realities of living here in this world as Christians in verse 12. And that, God willing, we'll start and pick up next week, God willing. Amen.